Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
The future of Cambridge-based tech giant Arm and its proposed sale to the US chip maker Nvidia was debated in the House of Commons last night. Leading the debate was Cambridge MP Daniel Zeichner. Pleased to say that Daniel joins us on Cambridge Breakfast this morning. Good morning to you, Daniel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This isn't the first time that Arm has been sold, has it? But the second, and I'm wondering if the battle was really lost when the business was sold to SoftBank in the first place.
Well, I think there are many who might agree with you. One of the points I was making last night was the comparison between the role of the government back in 2016, when Philip Hammond, who was then Chancellor, used the sale of Arm to somehow demonstrate in the weeks after the referendum that Britain was open for business. But whatever one felt about that, the government was clearly very closely involved. Whereas this time, as I told the minister, the silence from government has been pretty deafening and to many of us quite ominous.
The government obviously has a lot of other things on its plate at the moment. Is it a matter of it just getting lost in coronavirus and talks on Brexit, or has there been a shift in emphasis? Obviously a Conservative government back in 2015, as we have now, but different governments of whatever colour will sometimes concentrate on different things in different parliaments.
Well, it's certainly a fair point that they've got a lot on their plate at the moment. But actually, this is such a big issue. I mean, every now and then we have these things, don't we? Because we had the long-running battle when Pfizer were trying to take over AstraZeneca 7 or 8 years ago. And these very big acquisitions are very important, not just for the local area, which, of course, is in some ways my prime concern, the thousands of jobs and the impact on Cambridge. But these kind of acquisitions actually have a national and international significance too, and that's why last night's adjournment debate, which is normally not very well attended, particularly at midnight, attracted a bit more attention from other MPs. And the chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee and the Business and Industrial Strategy Select Committee have both expressed interest in this, so it goes well beyond Cambridge.
I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about the mechanics of something like an adjournment debate, insofar as it's something which, as I understand it, is designed to sort of wind up the procedure and the Commons for the day, but it also, at the same time, gives a vital sounding to issues like this, and other MPs will no doubt raise other issues important to their constituencies when they're asked, their debate is selected. But is somebody like a senior minister responsible from within the government? They're not obliged to attend or anything, are they?
They are obliged to attend. I mean, the inner workings of Parliament are probably lost on most people, understandably.
I'm obliged to attend whether or not they do attend, I guess, a couple of different things.
Yes, well, they do attend, but they mainly try and say as little as possible.
Right.
And I'm afraid last night was another example of that. And I do understand. I mean, it's huge amounts of money, £32 billion pounds from SoftBank last time, $40 billion this time. So there's a lot at stake for the companies involved, but also, crucially, a lot at stake for the thousands of employees. And that's the point I keep making throughout, that they don't seem to have had much of a voice in this. They're kind of bought and sold almost as pawns in a bigger game. And although, I mean, it has to be said that a lot of people are very well paid at Arm and very successful, it still leads to a lot of uncertainty for people. And that is, I think, a problem with this.
Because I guess this is the classic thing, just speaking in very general terms here, if one company buys another, and the first thing they're likely to say is, yes, we back this company, they're doing a fantastic job, and we're going to be building it up, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, a few years down the line, maybe something goes wrong elsewhere in the company, and it's somebody else who takes the price for that.
Well, indeed, and of course, no one can make predictions and guarantees about the future. But it is a pretty cutthroat business, and certainly people like Herman Hauser, who of course was one of the co-founders of Arm originally, is very, very concerned. He was very concerned when SoftBank took control, because I think he rightly felt the decisions in future would not be being made in Cambridge, they'd be being made elsewhere, and he was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I think he's even more worried this time, because whereas SoftBank was a slightly curious conglomerate with a very charismatic entrepreneur leading it, NVIDIA, in some ways, is more straightforward. They are a chip maker, and that also alters the way ARM does its business potentially, because ARM designs and licenses to all the chip makers, being bought by one of them completely changes that balance. Now, they say they're not going to alter it, but it's hard to see how they're going to manage to do that, because their competitors are bound to think that they're going to take advantage, which would seem a rational thing to do.
And I guess, you know, the well-worn line of all of us are probably carrying around a bit of ARM technology with us in our phones, whatever brand we have, as the chances are there is some involvement from ARM in it. Do you think there's also, you know, issues for other tech firms from within Cambridge that are so important to our economy here that, you know, they may face a bid, hostile or otherwise, and it's basically, this may be saying, well, you know, it's fine, for sale signs are up, if you want to buy some British technology, that's fine, because the government are happy to let that go through.
Well, I mean, there's nothing new in acquisitions and startups being bought in Cambridge. This is a common complaint in Cambridge, of course, that we're very good at initial startups, find it much more difficult to take these brilliant, innovative companies through to something much bigger. And that's why I think there is such pride in ARM, and equally such disappointment when finally, even though it was one of the tech giants, that we effectively handed control over to other countries. So I don't think we're going to see a change in that kind of ecosystem. But this is because it's so big, and because it's the one area where the UK genuinely is world-leading and world-beating, that is why it is of such strategic significance. And there are those who think it does have national security implications, because basically it gives the US government, and at the moment, of course, that's a slightly unusual government, perhaps one might say, the possibility of using the control that they would then get over all kinds of companies which use ARM's technology, and that's the bigger concern.
Yeah. As far as the adjournment debate is concerned, does anything else happen next? Is there, you know, will, I don't know, you said there were members of the select committee who were in attendance, do they then maybe set something up within one of their committees to discuss this further?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, and the BAES, the Business and Industrial Strategy Committee, does have a potential role in this. I mean, as ever in the UK, it's not a simple process. Other countries have sometimes kind of more straightforward legislation, and this is inevitably also tied to our departure from the European Union. And the government in the Queen's speech did announce that they would be bringing forward new legislation to deal with it, but guess what? They haven't published it yet. So it is a complicated set of processes, and the debate last night, I think, is just one part in that process. But what it said very loud and clear to the government was that people are watching very closely, asking questions, and we'll be expecting them to take a view. Last night they had an opportunity to express a view. In effect, they chose to explain why they were finding it difficult to do so. Well, that's not good enough, and I shall continue to pursue them.
Just like the old times, isn't it? Late night debates in the Commons, press releases issued at all hours.
Well, you could say that. Personally, I think discussing really important issues at midnight isn't necessarily the best way of doing it, but I'm afraid that's the system we've got.
A slightly unusual government. I liked that, Daniel. While we've got you, can we have a quick chat just about the coronavirus pandemic at the moment? Cambridge, it's an interesting position, isn't it? Because, yes, our infections currently are relatively low, but, I mean, it's September. It's the start of an academic term. We've got a huge student population about to come through the doors, basically. Should we be worried about that, do you think? I mean, they're coming in from across the city. I'm sure they'll be quarantining. But all the other students, do you think there's a possibility that we'll see a bit of an uptick soon here?
Well, one's got to be concerned, hasn't one? Mm. I think we saw in the States that movements of students were problematic, and we're seeing stories across the country at the moment, are very, very difficult for universities. Obviously, been in close contact with both our major universities in the city, and I did raise this with Matt Hancock in the Commons a few weeks ago. I don't think it's fair to put the onus on individual universities for deciding how to approach this, but different people are already doing different things, and I suspect we are going to see cases in university cities, and it's hard to imagine we won't see cases in Cambridge at some point in the coming few weeks.
If we don't end up going for the full lockdown, quite a possibility of a local lockdown in Cambridge, would you say?
I'm not sure about that because, of course, the two major universities are very different in the sense that college communities obviously are quite enclosed, small communities. So it is possible to test and isolate if, of course, you've got the testing capability. And if we keep going back to this same basic point, and certainly Anglia Ruskin, I think, are quite understandably relying on the NHS test and trace facilities.
Right.
And, of course, we know how problematic that has been.
Yeah.
This was not something that was unforeseen. Frankly, we all knew the start of term date some months and months ago.
Mm.
So one's got to wonder why it is that we're here now discussing this without a clearer plan from the government.
And I suspect it's something we will obviously return to, and indeed the subject of ARM as well. But for now, as always, Daniel, thank you very much for joining us on Cambridge
Breakfast
this morning. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Daniel Deichner, who is MP for Cambridge, of course, leading that adjournment debate in the Commons last night, takes us to 8:42.